Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome into the Buffalo Bills postgame show. I'm Nate Geary. The Bills drop to 7-4. They lose to the Houston Texans for the second straight season on the road. And, you know, as Chris Brown said in his closing remarks from this game, the division is becoming further and further away from attainable at this point. The Patriots now will have a, I believe, 2.5-game lead over the Bills, potentially 3.5 after a win this weekend. If I'm doing my math correctly, I think they're 8-2. They're going to be probably 9-2 after this weekend. So a 2.5-game lead if they win. And that could pretty much put the division out of reach for the Bills. Listen, a lot to unpack from this game, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, just more injuries. And this feels a little like a flaw for them. They've signed and really targeted players that are undersized and at this point have just been injury prone. Right now, I mean, Terrell Bernard's been playing through an ankle injury, has not really looked like the same player as he did last season. And he goes down with what looked to be like a dislocated elbow today, which might only keep him out a couple of weeks. But, you know, he's out with injury, was already banged up going into this game. Spencer Brown, he's not really of the small, undersized type. But, you know, I thought in this game, it was another example of when the Bills lose, which is not often, right? I mean, it is a rare thing when the Bills lose. It does tend to come down to coaching. It comes down to not making enough adjustments, leaving Spencer Brown on the field against the best pass rushing tandem in the league with one arm felt like, you know, a wrong idea. Not giving him or Deion Dawkins at the edge. They did not have good pass protection plans in this game. They're just, they weren't either, the plans weren't there or they were not executed. For me, the look of it, it did not look like they had plans on how to stop four-man rushes. And when you can be as effective as Houston was today with getting after the quarterback with four, I mean, 8 sacks of Josh Allen today. 8. It's, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? We got Josh Allen at the podium, so here's QB1.
You're obviously in pain. Can you tell us what happened there?
Just left shoulder, landed on it, and went a little numb on me. We're good.
Houston's defense, particularly the guys in the edge in the pass rush, was what were they doing to be so disruptive today with you and the offensive line?
I'll have to watch it on film. I feel like they were doing a few different stunts. You know, they had a good plan, and we gotta play better.
Did they show you something different, Josh, than what was on film? Did they surprise you with something?
Not necessarily. They just got they wanted it today, you know, and yeah, I mean, we had a chance to win it there at the end and got to find a way.
What did you see on the final play?
Final play, you know, looking like man, just dropping back and just trying to get it to one of our open guys. You know, yeah.
On the fourth down play, it appeared on the sidelines on the TV broadcast that you might have been saying, what are we doing on that play? Was there some miscommunication, or were you just not happy with the play, or...
I mean, just frustration on my part. You know, just, yeah, in a situation like that, probably should have just banged a timeout. Just getting we got the play in late. You know, didn't give ourselves a chance there.
How difficult is it to deal with that pass rush, obviously taking all those hits? Can you even put into words how it is to get through a game like that? Most sacks of your career.
Yeah, it's not fun. I ran into a couple myself. I got to be better with throwing the ball away and living to see another down and letting us play some situational football and pinning them deep. And too many times I was going backwards, and I got to be better on that.
Do you think you could use the flat more, throwing the ball, dumping it off like you did to I think it was secure. Or, I think it was short 22, 26, and he took off and was able to Ty Johnson. I'm not sure. Do you think they could have went more on those flat?
Listen,
on the blitz, all out.
I mean, it's hindsight's 20/20. Ultimately, we got to execute, you know, and we didn't do a good enough job of that tonight. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance, we gotta put our head down and find a way there. And on the field, we didn't. That's what it comes down to.
With, like you say, finding a way, but you had so many injuries happening on both sides of the ball. How is it to deal with that as it's happening during the game, and to, like you say, stay focused when kind of everything seems at some point, even the ref got hurt, everything's kind of falling apart?
Yeah, again, had a chance to win it there at the end, so that we did a good job of staying in it. You know, defense bailed us out at times, and again, we drive in the ball on that last drive, and we gotta find a way to get in. We didn't.
What happened on the first interception?
First interception. Honestly, he made a really good play. Zero was kind of pushing to the flat, and I saw Elijah for a split second was open. I mean, I can try to put the ball a little bit higher. That was just one. I feel like he made a really good play.
With the pressure they were causing, I mean, what was it like for you at the line before the snap? Just in terms, coming into the game, you said they didn't do a lot of anything exotic, but just in terms of projections and checks, what was the challenge like with just facing that group?
It's a good unit. It's a really, you know, statistically they're. I think they're at the tops in basically everything that you can be the tops in, and they showed that tonight. You know, that's it's a really good football team.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there is Bills quarterback Josh Allen. In that locker room sound is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We're going to take a time out on the other side. We'll get to Bills head coach Sean McDermott live from the podium. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
All right, welcome back to Buffalo Bills postgame here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nate Geary here. The Bills lose 23-19. Before we get connected with our fans, it's time now for the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. And instead of going into specific stats about the game, I'll go through some troubling stats in this game. Josh Allen in this game sacked 8 times on 28 pressures. The Bills had 3 turnovers in this game, 8 in their last 3 games total, 5 of 16 on third down. And on the other side, the Bills had 0 sacks in this game. So, you know, a lot going wrong for the Bills offensively in this game. And looking at some of the other stats in this game, Josh Allen finishes 25 of 35, 262 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. James Cook finishes with 116 yards on 17 carries. Khalil Shakir, 110 yards on 8 receptions. All right, let's get connected with our fans quickly here. Give me 1 second. And head to our – it's time now for our ServPro first response from the fans. ServPro cleaning, restoration, and construction like it never even happened. Get your quote now at ServPro.com. And Dave in West Seneca kicks us off this evening. Dave, good evening, and you're on the postgame show.
Hey, how's it going, Nate?
Good.
Man, dude, when's the last time you saw a Bills quarterback get sacked that many times in a game? Like
Trent Edwards, probably. It's been a while.
And then on top of that, like, our offense is broken, you know. Brandon Bean's kind of looking like a bozo now, as best as I can put it. Like, and then on the last piece that I'll say, man, is, like, I mean, our defense did well. They played good enough for us
in the second half, yeah. In the first half, I mean, giving up that touchdown drive at the end of the half was kind of a backbreaker. Just really no pressure at all on Davis Mills. I mean, it's a backup quarterback. They scored 23 points. I think you want to expect you win that game.
They essentially made a backup quarterback, a mid-tier backup quarterback, look serviceable.
Yeah, especially in that first half. Thanks for the call, Dave. Yeah, Davis Mills, you know, whatever. I mean, he started poorly. He kind of settled into the game. You know, they didn't run the football as much as I thought they should in this game. Christian Kirk made Taron Johnson look like a fool a couple of times in this game. Maxwell Harrison goes down with an injury in this game. So does Spencer Brown. So does Terrell Bernard. So we're going to have to keep an eye on, especially Terrell Bernard, looked like a dislocated elbow of some sort. And again, I mentioned earlier, you know, that's an injury that's usually a couple of weeks. So hopefully he can avoid an IR stint. But clearly, you know, even before that, just not 100%. And, you know, they're going to need to get healthy on the defensive side of the ball for them to have a chance this year. But, you know, I thought the defense made adjustments going into the second half. But at the same time, I mean, Bobby Babbage said it in our pregame show this afternoon when he spoke with Chris Brown and said, you know, they've got to start quicker. They did not start quick in this game. They gave up 20 points in the first half and, you know, only 3 in the second half. And good for them for, you know, locking things down. But, you know, kind of the damage is already done in the first half. And offensively, you know, I mean, this is two of the last 3 weeks. The predictability of this offense is, to me, at a fever pitch. I'm frustrated. I'm watching people, because this is a primetime game, I'm watching, you know, smart people that watch the game and evaluate the game, all talk about the predictability of this offense and how easy it is to defend when they run three bleeping concepts. I mean, they just run mesh to death. They just, that's their answer. That's their only answer against man. Their only answer against pressure is the tunnel screen. And then they just run duo over and over and over again. And hey, like, it worked early in the game, but once they figure it out, it's just, you know, it's just so vanilla. You have Josh Allen, you have one of the most unbelievable quarterbacks to ever play the game, and you have an offensive coordinator that runs three plays. Thank God we didn't get to see the pitch today, because, you know, that's just been working so wonderfully over the last couple of games. Yeah, it's, you know, it's, listen, it's a frustrating night because of the lack of continuity, the lack of consistency. 5 of 16 on third down in this game for the Bills. 3 for 5 on fourth down. That's just too many fourth down to 5 fourth down opportunities tonight. It's just, it's not good enough. And, you know, the bad offsides penalty with Deion Dawkins at 4th and 1, that totally changes what you can do on that play. Because it was obvious to me, either tush push or design quarterback run, get that first down, call a timeout. You've got 4 shots to the end zone from the 12-yard line. But Deion Dawkins, whose effort I really had in a couple of hits, I think he gave up 2 or 3 sacks in this game. All of them, he just stopped blocking. So I don't need you, Deion Dawkins, after the game last week, talking about people need to grow up on the team. Well, you know, man, you're a leader on this team, and that those are just, it's bad effort. And it just feels like you say that. And then the other part of this, which, you know, whatever, not for nothing, but they just waste 48 seconds at the end of that game. Like, you can waste the time when you get down to the red zone, then you can start worrying about bleeding the clock, but just giving away, getting 6 yards in 48 seconds puts a strain on your offense. And they just, their lack of urgency that stems from the play calling down to the execution, to me, is one of the most frustrating parts. And listen, Joe Brady's going to get a head coaching job, probably in the NFL or in college football. He's going to have his choice of jobs. But I'm going to tell you, over the last 6 games, the level of predictability of someone of his stature with the team that he has, you know, and listen, these wide receivers, you know, it's hard to really look at them and blame them in this game. Josh Allen barely had time to get to the top of his drop before there was pressure in his face. 28 pressures on how many dropbacks? On 35 dropbacks. 35 dropbacks, 28 pressures. I don't know what you're supposed to do with that. I just don't know. Let's go to Chris in Lake Placid. Chris, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Tough loss, obviously. Like, you know, I was just listening to you prior. I can't agree more with the I've seen it many times this year with the lack of the sense of urgency. Totally agree with that. And I just believe that the play calling is holding us back big time. I mean, that one, you know, the 4th and 1, when you see Josh saying, what are we doing on the bench? It's like, what are we doing? You know, I mean, it's tough. Like, you got Josh Allen. Roll him out. Give him some options. I feel like that's holding us back big time.
Yeah, no, and listen, their record right now, 7-4. In their 4 losses, they're averaging less than 20 points a game. So if their offense isn't scoring, they're not going to win football games. And you go from scoring, 13 in Miami to 44 back to 19. The peaks and valleys in this offense, to me, are going to be the downfall of the offense. Defensively, injuries, you know, I am interested in next year. They need to hire a veteran defensive coordinator. Sean has surrounded himself with young, you know, I don't know, guys that maybe just aren't going to ask questions and be yes men. But, like, I've seen enough of Bobby Babich, and I've seen enough of Sean McDermott's defensive scheme. It's not allowing or elevating players. They have not been able to stop the run since he's walked through the door. They can't get defensive tackle play from anybody. They've got nothing in terms of pass rush. So what I'm interested in is, can they find a veteran defensive coordinator next year to come in and implement its own system and let Sean just give the defense up? It's time. Like, it's time that you give the defensive play calling up to somebody that's got experience, and you ran the other guy out of the door, and Leslie Frazier. You blamed him for 13 seconds and a lot of this stuff, but, like, Leslie Frazier was running your defense. I need a defensive coach in here that is going to dramatically shift the philosophy of this defense. They can't. We talk about run fits every week. We talk about they're undersized. I mean, it's just every old adage in the book. And I just feel sick and tired about having to talk about the same things over and over on the defensive side of the ball. I'm ready for a shift there defensively next year. And offensively, like I said, I mean, I tweeted this after the game. I would be doing whatever I could to get Brian Daboll off of the golf course and in here as a senior offensive assistant so that he can start to have we need somebody in this room that knows how to build an NFL passing structure and NFL passing concepts, because it's not being done by the current offensive coordinator. It's just the same damn plays over and over and over again. Chris in St. Louis, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Nate, good to talk to you again. It's been about 2.5 years. 2.5 years ago, Jets opener, gave a call. I said, Nate, McDermott and Bean ain't it. You push back on that. I got to say, man, we got no talent on this team. We got Josh, we got Cook, and we got a bunch of bums. At what point are we going to, is the local media going to start actually getting real about this? I mean, it's all on you guys to put a little pressure on the ownership. I mean, what are we doing here? We got nothing. We got no talent. It's all on Josh and Cook and nothing else. I mean, come on, man. We need a little bit better here. What are we doing? We're just going to do the same thing over and over again. We're just going to keep banging our head on the wall with this group. I mean, come on, man. What are we doing?
It certainly seems like it, Chris, because they re-signed Terrell Bernard, who can't stay healthy, is undersized, and can't defend against the run. They re-signed Gregory Rousseau, and, I mean, he has three pressure, or he's just not getting to the quarterback at an effective enough rate, and Christian Benford looks like the shell of a player that he was last year. Yeah, I mean, all their signings, other than James Cook right now, look like they could be albatross on their books. Let's go to Ryan in Buffalo. Ryan, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I think this is one of those games that when McDermott and Bean, you know, are finally fired, you can point to it because, you know, like you said, the guys that we re-signed, terrible. McDermott can't make adjustments at halftime. Keon Coleman's inactive. I mean, imagine if we drafted a guy who could have been a difference today. I mean, where do you think we go from here with coaching and, you know, front office?
Brian, I mean, I think if you're around here holding your breath for either of these guys to get fired, I just think you're gonna waste your time. They're not gonna get fired. I mean, look at the hockey team. Okay, that general manager's got 6 years. You think they're going to fire these guys? I mean, what evidence have you seen with your eyes that these owners are anywhere close to being able to make a decision that, you know, like, I don't know how anybody could actually call the show or tweet online, spend time thinking about them firing anybody. It's not going to happen. if you need the evidence, look at the hockey team. They're letting one of the best hockey markets in the country just literally whittle away with the worst GM in sports, in all of professional sports. So if you think that something's coming here this offseason, and they get a wild card and they lose in the first or second round again, and you're waiting for changes, don't hold your breath. Brian in Bradford, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, Nate. Tonight was kind of like playing a par five, striping the drive down the middle, hitting a great second shot to right in front of the green, and then chunking your wedge to like 2 feet. I don't agree with McDermott and Bean being fired. I think I've sat through, you know, how many coaches, how many GMs. I think we got a decent one on both positions, but I just don't, and we could talk all night about frustrations and this and that and the other thing. But on that fourth down and one, before idiot jumped off sides, you have a 6'5", 220-pound quarterback. You run him up the middle. You get the first down. You call the timeout. You got four shots at the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get I think Brady can get you so far, but I'm with you. Get Dable in the building. Even if McDermott and Bean doesn't want him, Pegula's got to sign him because he is creative. Josh was Josh with him. I think Brady is, and I'm not a big change coach guy. I think they need something in there besides Brady. This, it's just not working, you know.
Yeah, so, no, listen, yeah, thanks, Brian. I agree. It has been working for a couple weeks now. And, I mean, I'm pretty close. I feel sort of in the same place that I felt with Ken Dorsey. But I don't see Sean McDermott firing Joe Brady for one major reason. He's a young coach. He's about to take the reins of a program, whether it's in the NFL or at the college level, as a head coach. You're not going to... Don't shoot the messenger here, but they aren't firing Joe Brady. So that's just like another thing I think we can just maybe write off. Like it's not happening. We do have to get a quick station ID in here. So we're going to do that. We're also waiting on head coach Sean McDermott, so we'll get to that in a second as well. But let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, we'll continue taking some phone calls and getting connected with our fans while we wait for Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Let's go to Braden in Sumter, South Carolina. Braden, you are on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I wanted to talk about the offensive line. I mean, that was one of the worst performances by an offensive line I've really ever seen. And last week, too, I tried to call. And just last week's run defense was terrible. But just this week and some of the play calls that Brady did, like that fourth down run by Cook.
Yep. Yeah, and the third down run before it, and the second down run before that, and the first down run before that. I mean, running four straight times and taking the ball out of your quarterback's hand on fourth down is certainly a decision.
Yeah, just terrible, terrible play calls by Brady. And, you know, just Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins, I mean, eight sacks in a game by an offensive line is not good.
No.
Not good at all. So... I have a strong opinion that I feel like that at the end of the season, they need to make some move. They need to make at least one move and get a good offensive lineman.
Well, listen, Braden, thanks for the call. They going into this game, the strength of the Bills offense was their offensive line. They were ranked the number one pass blocking offensive line in football. They lost almost every one-on-one they had today. Spencer Brown was playing most of the second half with an injury, which hopefully won't keep him out long term. It certainly didn't look good. He was not happy on the sidelines. Deion Dawkins is, you know, your leader, and I thought on the two sacks he gave up tonight, I thought he showed piss poor effort. Full stop. So let's go to Paul in Rochester. Paul, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, first of all, I agree 100% on Dawkins. The last 3 weeks, he's been offside six or seven times.
Yep.
But I think Josh Allen is the right quarterback on the wrong team. If Bean isn't going to get all the players he needs, then if I were Josh, I'd ask for a trade. I mean, look what they did with Matt Stafford and Jared Goff. Those guys two switched teams and they all of a sudden got better? No, they had better players. And I'm really sad to see, I think Josh Allen's the best years of his career are almost behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad to see his career being pissed away.
Well, I'm with you, Paula. It's tough. You know, most head coaches don't get this long in the NFL to win one, and not especially with the player that they have at the quarterback position. But again, 6 years for the general manager of the hockey team to not even, like, to basically one time sniff close to the playoffs at the end of the year. There is plenty of evidence that this team will not be making any substantial moves like that, a general manager or head coach. Let's go to Mark in Virginia. Mark, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Mark.
Hey, Nate, good evening. That game was that not the longest Thursday night football game in the history?
That quarter, I aged a year in that third quarter.
Yeah, I think everyone did, yeah. A lot of blame to pass around. They didn't play well. You can, you know, point fingers at Brady. D didn't look great in the first half, whatever it is. But my main point is Brandon Bean, what are you doing at the wide receiver position?
Yeah.
I mean, the last caller just said we're wasting Allen's career. I'm getting to that point where it's becoming a joke. At halftime, Ty Johnson's our leading receiver with two receptions and 36 yards. What are we doing? I'm sorry to get all fired up. I know it's midnight.
No, that's
right. Early callers haven't been given enough juice. Like, Gabe Davis comes in and is the second leading receiver at halftime with 22 yards. What are we doing?
Hey, Mark, let me put you on pause here because we've got head coach Sean McDermott at the podium.
Guys gave it all they had, and we came up short. Things you can't do against a good football team and a good defense overall. Let's just start field position-wise. We beat ourselves from a field position standpoint, some costly penalties, the turnovers, three turnovers. Just look at it overall, and we weren't playing enough complimentary football, and we still had a chance to win at the end of the game. But plenty of things we need to work on, so time's yours.
Sean, offensively, obviously the pass rush was great, but they were doing it with four. Is that a little bit of a concern that they were able to get that much pressure with four?
Well, that's how they've built it, and that's what you want to be able to do. We've talked about that a lot, right? I think they had 12 hits on Josh, 8 sacks. It's not a healthy formula right there.
This was the least amount of pressure applied to Texans quarterback this season. Why was it so hard to generate anything for you guys on that side of the ball?
Well, they were doing a good job of staying on schedule at times, getting the ball out of his hand. They do a good job with that. We knew that coming in. Mills throws the ball quickly, and we knew we were going to have to get our hands up to affect him. Thought the effort in the second half by the defense was outstanding. Gave us a chance to win, but the drive before half, the big play, the chunk right there, we got to be better. That was an important drive right there. So overall, we go back to work and continue to push forward here.
On the fourth down play when you went with Cook, Josh said that he felt the play was late coming in and maybe he should have called timeout. Is that the way you saw what happened on that play?
Yeah, I'm usually listening to Joe. In terms of, hey, do we need one, do we not? I didn't hear that at that point. I'll talk to Josh and follow up. That's how it went down.
John, I know injuries are part of the game, but at some point are you throwing your arms up? Just like, when is it ever going to end, especially from the defense?
Yeah, can't do that. I respect your question, Sal. Can't do that, right? We got to stay in this thing, man. We grind, and we grind it out, and that's what you do. You compete. You sign up. This is what you do. No matter you have no injuries or you have the injuries that we have. I do appreciate, again, like I've said before, guys stepping in tonight. Shaq went in there. Other guys were going down. Some came back. Some didn't. Max, did not come back. But like I said, the effort, the will that the guys have, I don't question that one bit. I don't.
That's what I didn't mean. You throw it up because you get quit. I mean, it's like, is it ever going to end? Is what I meant.
Yeah, good question. Good question. No, but we fight. That's what we do. We fight. We battle, and we push forward.
I know you pride yourself on being the more physical team. Did they beat you to that tonight? Were they the more physical team?
Well, when they hit their quarterback 12 times, that's I don't like that. I don't like that stat at all, and it's not a healthy way to play. Or a healthy way to keep our quarterback healthy through the remainder of the season. So, That's just not a good formula right there.
Sean Khalil had a slow start and then the fumble, obviously, but was able to bounce back and make some big plays. Just how do you evaluate his night overall?
Yeah, he's a heck of a football player. Big part of our team. Made some big plays for us as well. Obviously, he'll want that play back. He's usually sure-handed, and in particular when he's carrying the ball. So I don't know who it was that came in there. It was an underneath cover guy and played with, you know, what we call violence and violent hands and violent arms, and made a good play on the ball right there on the tackle.
Sean, the decision to have Keon inactive, was there anything new context-wise for that? Or
anything new, did you ask?
Anything new?
Nothing new. No, we're just taking it one day at a time right now. Thought he had a better week, and we moved forward one day at a time.
Just to clarify, is this an extension of the discipline that you gave to him on the
first game? It was a short week, so we had basically 2.5 days, and you got a game plan and all those types of things. But it wasn't that it wasn't thought about. It was, just like anything else. But just felt like we went with the guys that like we always do, try and do, unless the situation comes up like it did. Go with the guys that give us the best chance every week.
Just one last thing. Offensively, as you're trying to figure things out, and you talked about this going into the game, that is a really good defense. But did it feel like at times that maybe on offense it was a little bit too predictable?
Well, again, when you're not winning first down and you get into second down and long, that's what becomes predictable. And then their D-line pins their ears back and they go. And they're built that way for a reason. So it's and then that's where the hits come. Second down and long, third, that turns into third down and long. And again, that's the formula, the unhealthy formula I'm talking about. And Josh takes too many hits, and so we've got to figure that piece out. And I believe in our offensive staff. I believe in our coaching staff overall. I thought the adjustments on the defensive side were really good tonight, going into the second half. I'm talking about and. Kept us in the game, but again, not enough field position, like I said, penalties on special teams. So we just overall, to have those things come up, that combination of areas, and then still have a chance to win the game, says a lot about the effort that the players gave tonight.
I know he didn't come back. Is Maxwell Harrison in concussion protocol?
As far as I know, he is. I've not heard that directly from the trainer, though. I just know he was held out of the game. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. There's Bills head coach Sean McDermott. And Sean McDermott's postgame media conference is presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. We got some breaks to get caught up on, so we'll get that done over the next 45, 50 minutes or so. We'll continue taking your phone calls and dissect, discuss, and throw out and move on from this Bills 23-19 loss to the Houston Texans. This is Buffalo Bills football. All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We'll get a quick look around the league by the UPS store, Be Unstoppable, and taking a look at some of the games in the week 11 slate. Week 12 slate. Holy cow. 1 o'clock windows, couple of decent games. Bengals host the Patriots. Obviously, the Bengals will be without Ja'Marr Chase, who's serving a one-game suspension for spitting in the face of Jalen Ramsey. The Vikings will travel on the road, the 4-6 Vikings, to the 6-3-1 Green Bay Packers. That one's a 1 p.m. kickoff. The Seattle Seahawks look to bounce back from their loss last week to the L.A. Rams. They face the 1-9 Titans. The game of the week, or the weekend, I should say, Colts travel to the Chiefs with a chance to put the Chiefs to 5-6. The Ravens will host the 2-8 New York Jets. Tyrod Taylor been named the starter this week in place of Justin Fields. The Jaguars on the road at 4:05. They'll travel to Arizona to play the 3-7 Arizona Cardinals. Cowboys Eagles, a 4:25 p.m. game on Fox. Hey, not Sunday Night Football. We'll take what we can get. But Sunday Night Football, Buccaneers Rams, that should be a great game. The Rams coming off a big win over the Seahawks last week. They're 8-2. Buccaneers obviously coming off their 44-32 loss to the Bills last week. And then on Monday Night Football, the 49ers will host the Carolina Panthers. Let's take some quick phone calls here. We'll also get you some live sound from the locker room, but getting connected with our fans is powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And Mike in Rochester kicks us off this segment. Mike, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, Nate. First time, long time. I'll tell you right now, I'm so sick of constantly, week after week, for the last 2 years, everyone calling in and blaming Sean McDermott for what's going on right now. I mean, I think people forget that for the last 20 years, 25 years, we've been a pathetic organization. And Sean McDermott comes in and within a year turns it around. We haven't missed the playoffs since. I'm sick of the McDermott hate. It's easy, low-hanging fruit to attack him. I mean, one of the worst defenses in the league right now. But
right, and he's a defensive coach. Right, I mean, he is a defensive coach.
Not just this year, though, but last year, too. And then I know it's easy to say that, oh, no, you can't blame injuries, but it is injuries. I mean, the guy's putting out a practice squad team every time. And look at these games. We lose. We lose these games where the defense actually turns around and does their part. Like tonight, we have all these injuries on defense. Well, we already have injuries going into the game. And what do they do in the second half? Give up 3 points. And it's the offense. So
yeah, no, it is the offense. I agree with that.
So is this a personnel problem, though, or is this a Joe Brady problem? Because to me, it's starting to feel like I think we need to bring in a new GM and give a new GM a shot to make personnel decisions with Sean McDermott, who I think is doing a great job with what he has at his hands.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not really also the fire McDermott guy. So I just like, but where I am is he's a defensive coach. And when you have a defensive head coach and a quarterback like Josh Allen, the reason you have a defensive head coach is you're going to have to sacrifice personnel on the defensive side of the football. But that's why you hire a defensive head coach, so that they can overcome personnel problems. By the way, the linebacker that is hurt all the time, both of them, Milano and Bernard, handpicked by the head coach and the general manager. So yeah, the general manager definitely owns some of the, you know, pieces on this team. But in terms of the offense, you know, I think it's both. I think they're not good enough at wide receiver. They think they are, but they're not. And their play calling is incredibly predictable week in and week out. So, you know, I mean, they have Josh Allen at quarterback and they throw 30 times inside 10 yards. All of his throws are added around the line of scrimmage. Before Khalil Shakir's first pick, he had like 5 catches for 6 yards. So, yeah, a little of it is scheme, but, you know, I don't have a lot of energy in me to sit here and, you know, throw my hands up and say Sean McDermott doesn't own any of this. He's the head coach. There hasn't been a head coach in the NFL that has been with a team as long as he has without winning a Super Bowl, ever. So, you know, he owns some of that. He owns surrounding himself with young coaches like Bobby Babich instead of qualified veteran coaches who have done it in the league because they're yes men. And I don't even know who to blame for the defense because I don't know who's calling plays. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's take a timeout on the other side. We get you eye on the quarterback and get you some live reaction from the locker room. This is Buffalo Bills football.
And they've got him beat on the screen. Shakir racing, cuts it back, tries to shake a defender. He's got the first down. He's up the sideline. 35, 30, 20, and out of bounds at the 21-yard line.
Chris Brown on the call. We'll say that's time now for your New Era signature play of the game. It's brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL. Welcome back to the postgame show. I'm Nate Geary. The Bills drop a game that didn't really feel as close as it was, but the Bills had a chance with 2 minutes, 48 seconds. They went down the field, a fourth down play. Deion Dawkins going offside makes it 4th-and-1 to 4th-and-6. And then Josh Allen throws an interception, and so ends the game. Tanner, will you throw up some music for me so that I can do a quick around the league delivered to you by the UPS store, Be Unstoppable. And before we look around the league, let's do some quick reviews of tonight's 23-19 loss to the Houston Texans. The Bills gave up 8 sacks, including 28 pressures on 35 dropbacks, 3 total turnovers in this game, 2 interceptions and a Khalil Shakir fumble, 8 turnovers in their last 3 games. They go 5-for-16 on third down and leaving the game with injuries and not returning. Terrell Bernard with an elbow injury, Spencer Brown with a shoulder, and Maxwell Hairston with a concussion.
And then looking at around the league this week, went through it a little while ago, but the game of the week, Colts and Chiefs, 1 p.m. on CBS. And the Chiefs coming off of their loss last week at 5-5. The Colts 8-2 coming off of a bye. And then Buccaneers-Rams on Sunday night. Panthers-49ers on Monday night. And there's your scores from around the league, delivered by the UPS store. Be unstoppable. We're going to get some live player sound here. I got to get to another break. Before we do that, let's get a quick eye on the quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. And Josh Allen in this game, 24 of 34, 253 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. He was sacked 8 times and finished with a passer rating of 67.4. He added 5 carries for 20 yards on the ground as well. So there's your eye on the quarterback. Let's grab one phone call, get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's go to Bobby in Rome. Bobby, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hey, you guys already pretty much covered everything, but I was just calling to say, like, I know everyone's blaming McDermott, but, you know, I think that defense gave up like 40 yards in the second half and 3 points. And it was after, I think it was a Shakir that fumbled in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And they held him and kicked the field goal.
Yeah. That was a big hold. That was a big hold.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of like the Atlanta game. It's like, you know,
it's a lot like the Atlanta game.
Sucked in the first half, but it's like second half comes along, or, you know, defense made adjustments and the offense is like nowhere. And it's like, and I thought, I know we've already mentioned it, but Deion Dawkins, I think, might have been his worst game as a Buffalo Bill in a long time. I mean, when he went out with injury, I'm like, stay out, because like they actually looked better when he was out. I know he was only out 4 or 5 plays, but they were actually moving the ball. And I'm not blaming Deion, certainly, but it's like,
it was not his night.
I don't know.
It wasn't.
You guys all covered it since I've been on hold, but it's like, it's like, I know you blame McDermott. You want to blame him because he's the head coach, but it's like, it's on Brady. It's like, I don't know. Amazon has the like the Prime Vision,
yep,
or whatever it's called. Like, it's actually really cool. Like, I had it on 2 TVs. You could see that it's like playing Madden. You could see there were so many times I'm like, Josh had nowhere to go. I mean, there was times where it's like they had 3-4 guys going right. He's getting pressure from the right. He's going left, and there's nobody there. He has nothing to do.
Yeah, Bobby. No, I agree. Thanks for the call. I want to make a point about this. They have not had good answers against pressure. Their main answer against pressure is the tunnel screen, and it's been figured out, and they have no plan B. They've got no off-speed pitch. It is tunnel screen or die, and that is their answer against pressure, and this team pressured the living bleep out of them, and no adjustments. And listen, I don't disagree on the Sean McDermott point. Sean, my pecking order of blame tonight, Sean McDermott's not even really in my purview. I got a lot of other problems, and Sean McDermott's he's definitely not at the top of my list. So I agree with you, Bobby. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's take a timeout. We'll get some live player reaction on the other side. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm Nate Geary. Let's get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And Matt in Los Angeles will kick us off this segment. Matt, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
So it used to be everybody eats. Everybody eats. Everyone gets a look from the MVP. And now I just don't see everyone's eating. And so we can say, who's to blame here? I think McDermott's acting. I think he's an actor. And I think he should go move on to another acting job. Maybe he can play in a new X-Men movie or a live-action Mr. Clean or something. But we got to get rid of McDermott. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Matt. Let's go to Rocco and DePew. Rocco, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I just want to say I totally agree with you earlier. If you would pay any attention to the Sabres, there is no chance that either of these guys are going to get fired.
Yeah, not a shot.
Last caller's point. Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder, sadly. And, you know, I just wish we could get some change at the top. And it just never happens with either of these franchises. And there's one piece that connects them both. And it's just very sad to see. But ultimately, I think that Joe Brady has got to go. That's a piece that we can change. Terry doesn't need to sign off on that. And at this point, I think it needs to happen. I don't think it's going to be this season, but ultimately we cannot go into the new stadium with him at the helm.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Rocco. Listen, I agree. And as I mentioned earlier, I do not see – it would have to get really, really bad here over the next couple of weeks offensively for the Bills to make a move at offensive coordinator. I do not see Sean McDermott, torching Joe Brady's career. I just don't see it. And you could say you could not agree with it. I don't even know that I agree with it. But the reality is it's a fraternity – and it's a coach, it's a fraternity, and he is, like I said, going to have his probable pick of a lot of NFL jobs and a bunch of really solid college coaching jobs. And as the head coach, you're just not going to fire somebody in that position. You're just not going to do it. Not somebody that's been with this organization for the last three or whatever many years it's been since Joe Brady's been here. It's just not going to happen. Let's go to Adam in Newark. Adam, you're on the postgame. Good evening.
Oh, hey, sorry. I'm just out here scraping the Bill sticker off my truck right now. the truth is, I want to end on a positive note for the night and say, thank goodness Josh didn't lose his throwing arm tonight.
Yeah.
In one of them crumples. But, I'm not a fire McDermott guy either, but I am a we don't deserve this new stadium guy right now. That's all I can say. Thank you for the coverage. I don't know what you guys think about next week, but this week, I'm glad I got to work for the next game so I could be getting paid to watch it at least. That's all I can say.
Yeah, anyway, Adam, I'll tell you, as someone who gets paid to watch the games, it doesn't make you feel any better. So,
all right, guys.
Thanks for the call, Adam. I appreciate it. Let's go to Joe in Dunkirk. Joe, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Yep, I'm here. Fundamentals, things that people that play football, men that play football are taught this since they are young. You tackle, you take good angles. How is it that we talk about all the time, accountability? Okay, Keon Coleman, for instance. Now, Keon Coleman is not hurt. And I don't care how many meetings he's missed. The truth of the matter is that he's not on the field because he doesn't produce. I don't want to talk about people being fired. We're way past that. You work with what you have. We can't tackle. We have no discipline. So we are not, poor Sean. People are like, oh, fire Sean McDermott. This guy gets up in his post-game conference room. What else is he supposed to say? Oh, my guys work hard. You got Deion Dawkins laughing afterwards. Like, yeah, these are big things. Like, I'm 48 years old. Today is my birthday. I don't need a happy birthday, but I've been a Bills fan for 45 years. Since I'm 43 years since I've been five. I remember when football was football. I know the look on players' faces when they're disgusted when they lose. They're disgusted that they didn't make that play. They're not laughing. They're not on the sideline. Like, oh, yeah, everything's great. Discipline, tackles, just the basics. We don't even know the basics.
Now,
how do you teach someone that? They're already supposed to know that.
Yeah, and it's hard when you're – they are the worst tackling team in football.
Exactly. Right up the middle. Hey, I sit on the couch. I'm just a guy that sits on the couch. I've been watching football for decades. Watch what they're going to do. Run it up the middle. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
One guy's going to get in the backfield, and he's like, yes, tackles him high. You're taught at a young age, don't go high.
And
I'll eye on someone that can run you over.
The guy tonight, Joe, and thanks for the call. The guy tonight that I thought, he made up for it with a good play late in this game. But Taron Johnson, he's been one of your, if not your best run defender for the past five seasons. And he just bounces off of guys. And, I think Joey Bosa has been a good player for them. He was terrible last week. He has not been good since injuring his wrist. He's playing with one hand. Greg Rousseau, he's probably your most consistent run defender. He's making a lot of plays 3, 4, 5 yards down the field. It's tough. And Terrell Bernardi, small, he's undersized. Matt Milano, he's small, he's undersized. Most of the defensive tackles are small and undersized. They've just built a roster that, to me, is flawed, can't stop the run, and they have not philosophically changed in any way, in any meaningful way, other than to say, hey, we're actually going to draft this really big defensive tackle, but he's actually not really a run-stuffing one-tech. He's kind of a, you know, pass-rushing specialist three-tech. And Deion Walker, to his credit, has shown more as a, you know, two-gap run defender than he ever did in college, or at least what I thought you were getting from him. The fact of the matter is, he was not a guy coming out of college that was kind of expected to be a one tech that could play two gaps and be a run defender. But the other guys in this room are so bad at it that, you know, he's had to step in and he's done a nice job. But they just do not have the personnel in today's NFL with size and speed. They love speed and they love penetrators. But this is not, and I tweeted this out earlier, it's like Puna Ford. Remember him? He comes in, he can't even eat a game day jersey. Tim Settle, handpicked by Brandon Bean and by Sean McDermott. He plays 1.5 seasons, then he's gone, and now he's doing well. He played well last year for Houston. Puna Ford got paid this offseason. Those are two players that were not successful in the system, and I keep just kind of going back to this thought is maybe this is just not a system that can effectively allow defensive tackles to thrive and play their game and play well. I mean, I just don't know what else it could be. They're just... Their defensive tackles struggle, and they have for a long time defending the run. But it's not even just them; it's the guys behind them bouncing off of ball carries. They are miserable tackles. They take terrible angles. They don't fit the run. They're displaced easily. I mean, it's just all the makings of a defense that no wonder they can't stop the run. But I keep saying, well, what are they going to do about it? We've known they have struggled to stop the run since Sean McDermott has gotten in the door. They've had three defensive coordinators. Right, three? Yeah, Leslie Frazier, technically Sean McDermott, and then Bobby Babich. They've had three different people calling plays in the defense. They all struggle the same thing in all the same areas. Untimely blitzes. They've been just pouring draft capital into that defensive line. TJ Sanders, I don't know. He doesn't really seem to me like he's got a lot. Right now, they're leaning so heavily into fourth-round pick? I mean, their third-round pick before having season-ending ACL surgery was barely seeing the field. So, yeah. I mean, the archetype of the type of player that they want, it's not working for them. It's not working for them. All right, timeout. Other side, you're going to get some live reaction. We've got Deion Dawkins who met with the media. We're also going to hear from Gabriel Davis. That's all coming up on the other side. You're listening to the postgame show. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We are going to go live to the locker room to hear from Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
I mean, that was 8 sacks, it's career high for Allen. So, can you kind of quantify what was going on?
Tough one for the boys.
Reasons?
Tough. I don't know. Tough one for the boys.
I know you guys pride yourself on being a more physical team. Did they get that to you tonight? Were they the more physical team? Is that what happened tonight? Did you see it that way?
You know, it's, it goes without saying, right? Like, if it's a game of inches, right? If the end of the game, Gabe caught a beautiful pass, if his feet were just a couple more inches the other way, the energy like would be a little bit different, right? Even though that those guys got to our quarterback, but energy would just be a little bit different. So it's a game of inches. Like you would think that it was a full game, you know, like but whooping, but it's just football, man. Thursday night ball, good on good. I respect those guys. 5-5, 5-1, even 9-6, you know, like those guys, they play well. Even Tim.
How disappointed are you with the false start in that? That was a critical situation.
Man, life, you know, I got to be better for sure. You know, this happens time after time, you know. It's hard. It's hard to play offensive line. It's hard to be at your best at all times. Stadiums and like this, it's loud, you know. There's no excuse. I got to be better in times and like that. You know, I pride myself on being the best. It is in what it is. You know, that's, it's tough ball, man, but better days to come. You know, it kind of feels like it's the last game of the year, you know, but it's not, right?
I know you pride yourself on protecting Josh. For him to see him take that many hits tonight had to be rough. Right?
It'll be a tough night, right? You know, probably won't be able to sleep. You know, like when I see the kid get hit and he rolls around all hurt and stuff like that, you know, it's just, it's a tough day for the boys. Like, that's like our little and big brother, you know, and sucks, man. Sucks. I hate losing. You know, we're a good team, though. So I think that our best day is yet to come.
What gives you that confidence?
We're still available, you know. We still have opportunity to play. You know, like that door ain't shut. So that's the confidence.
All right, that's Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins. Let's go right over to Gabriel Davis, who's speaking with the media now, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
Did you guys get the ball there back on that last drive with a shot? You know, I'm going to assume that you like your chances there with Josh, you know, with just a minute or so on the clock.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the offense is moving the ball well. But I get half a foot out on the fade ball to really change it, and then you know, the offensive PI, I just feel like it didn't fucking matter anyway, but the guy ran into me. It was just sloppy play, and we just got to be better. You know, we got to help the defense. We're just not putting up the points that this offense can put up. So,
yeah, where's your confidence level in that you say you believe this offense can put up points?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we got the guys to do it. We just got to be more consistent, man. Like, at the end, we're doing what we do. It's like we got to start doing that early. just not consistent.
It's understandably frustrating. We saw Josh get a little frustrated. What's the dialogue and conversation through the battle and through the game of trying to figure out what they're doing?
We kind of knew what they had going on. We just, again, man on man, just didn't win. And just put the team in bad spots a couple times. It's on all of us, so just got to be better.
Can you get us through that and play on the sideline there where it looked like you were super close to getting that other foot down?
He was outside leverage, and I knew I had the fade ball on him. I knew Josh was coming to me and made a great play on the ball, but I honestly thought I had more green grass under me, and it was a catch over top of him, so I was really focused on the ball and didn't really get to let my feet die up under me, so just got to be more aware.
All right, Gabe Davis there. That's going to do it for us. Our local affiliate, WGR Sports Radio 550, will have the overtime show with Zach Jones. That's coming up immediately next. So if you're hanging on the phones looking to get in, you can get on with Zach on the other side. For me, Nate Geary, for my producer, Tanner Saunders, we appreciate you listening. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.